Hi, I'm Natalie.
I'm Lena.
And I'm Sean. We are three friends who all love film and thought it would be cool to discuss movies from our perspective.
We rate movies in terms of how drunk you need to be to enjoy them. We call it the Martini Scale.
Hello, ladies.
Howdy.
How are we doing?
Good.
Yeah?
I took the first sip of my martini. I'm like quite happy.
I know you guys did an Insta Live when you made the martini.
Yeah.
I think it was too fast because it was over before it began.
Yeah, that's what I said. I said, you're moving too fast. I can't record what's happening.
So this is all Sean's fault, I'm just going to say.
Oh, I take responsibility. I don't even know what you're going to do, but I take responsibility. It's fine.
Because when we did our collab with Girl Crush Pod, he said, I need to step up my social game. So
I did say that. I did.
I'm trying.
Well, I
new
think
things,
it's so
man.
Fun. I just think that, you know, our first live, we have some kinks to work out.
Yeah, I spilled half a shot of vodka in my hand.
I mean, besides that, you were just going way too fast. I was like trying to show everything. It's fine.
Said,
I think it was cute.
When you said you were doing Insta Live, I thought, oh, they're going to like get on camera and introduce everything. And I log on, it's literally just you shaking the thing. And I'm like, okay, I guess this is cute, but I feel like it should have been a little more interactive, engaging.
Yeah, I was like, are you going to explain everything? She was like, no. And I was like, okay.
I don't want to be on camera.
Well, I wasn't going to put you on camera, but your voice should be like over it. Like, now I'm adding 2 ounces of tequila, whatever. I don't know.
Silence. I like silence.
Maybe next time we could do it. Maybe we could do it next time where all three of us are on and we talk about it and we say hi to people and maybe we tell people in advance so we can take some questions. I don't know. It could be a little more engaging.
You were the only viewer.
I was the only, but it was like a 5-second video.
Yeah, it was a very short video.
I know. I was like, oh, okay.
Hey, okay, we got some kinks to work out, guys. Okay, we'll get there.
I thought it was cute. It looked pretty.
Yeah, it was cute. Good
Maybe
job.
I should have cleaned the lens on my phone first. I don't know.
You get an A for effort, A-, but I'll give you an A for effort. Yeah.
I mean, I'm okay with a B for effort. Like, there's always room for improvement.
True that. Well, I'm excited for this episode. We're going to be discussing some of our favorite documentaries, all of which are currently available on streaming platforms. Now, I personally love documentaries, especially ones that teach me things that I was not aware of previously, or maybe they work to persuade me on a topic that I was already educated on. Are you guys generally a big fans of documentaries?
Yes.
Huge.
Love them.
Huge fan.
So I knew this. And when I suggested that we do this episode, I was like, what? I felt like I was getting a little pushback, but I feel like I still looked at your guys' list and I'm like, God damn, there's a lot of stuff to get through here.
I love docs. And for me, I'm a visual learner. So this is the medium in which I learn the best. So if I read books or if somebody's speaking to me, I don't absorb all the information. Like, I need pretty pictures to follow along. And this really helps me understand and kind of dive into whatever the experience is that I'm being shown. So this is my favorite way of learning new things.
Yeah, I feel you. I'm with you. So I'm really excited to hear what we're drinking today. Now, I did happen to watch the Insta Live and I saw the name of the martini. I got a sneak preview. And I have to say, it's pretty cute. So
I have to say, it's one of the best ones.
Why don't you tell us? I feel like we need to work on the suspense buildup. So why don't you tell us what's in it, your logic behind it, and then reveal the name.
Okay. So I muddled some mint in some vodka.
Some mint.
And mint. And mint. And did a little splash of triple sec in there. And some fresh lime juice that I squeezed. And just shook it all up with ice. And I was really going to do, I forgot a pretty key element that I should have made today that I didn't. But it's actually very tasty and it doesn't need it. I was going to make a mint simple syrup as well. Simple syrup. And I did not do that. So, but this is, it's great. It's very refreshing.
So good.
Which it's warm. So I appreciate it. And this is the documentini. Get it? Because we're doing documentaries.
Yeah.
Documentini.
I love it.
Love it.
Nice. Yep. I love
it. It's good. It's tasty too. Right. I came up with a name and then built around it and both worked out.
I love it.
Normally it doesn't work like that.
It looks kind of like a mojito. Okay, I'm feeling it. I'm with you in spirit. I got some sparkling alcohol in my glass today.
Oh, great.
All right. Well, let's dive in because we got a lot of stuff to talk about today. And I am super excited. And I'm actually most excited for the one that is up first because I just watched this yesterday. I think I texted you both in real time about this one because I was like, I have never in my life, like I've seen a ton of documentaries. I've watched like a lot, like the true crime stuff, whatever, like always kind of reels me in. But this was like a whole different realm. And I think one of the things I texted you was like, I my jaw was on the floor and like, I didn't think it could get any lower to the floor. And it just kept like, oh my God. Like,
jaw.
Again and again. Jaw. I wrote gotcha. Job and I know, whatever. Jaw, that's what I meant. Anyway, so it is Class Action Park, which is currently streaming on HBO Max. And it's basically the American Amusement Park, Action Park, which is located in Vernon Township, New Jersey. And it was known for the popularity they had among the locals and infamous. It was basically infamous for their poor safety ratings. Or not, I guess they weren't rated, but they were like the record of poor safety. And then all the attractions that were located on the grounds. And I have to say that like, again, I think the wildest part for me was like they talked about even Donald Trump did not want to invest in it because that's how crazy it was. I was like, holy shit.
That was my favorite part.
Yeah. It's funny because I kept thinking the whole time they were talking about like New Jersey, New York, and like the mob, whatever. I was like, oh my God, they're going to tell us at some point that Donald Trump is involved in this. And so we got to that part. And sure enough. I think people that like they talked about how like people thought that like drowning in the wave pool was like part of the experience. Like, dude, I don't know. I don't know what you guys thought about this one, but I was just.
I freaking loved this one. Okay. Yeah. It was hysterical. And it's just like, it's kind of, I've never been there, but like, it was kind of nostalgic of like, yeah, theme parks and like amusement parks that we went to when we were younger. It was like, or maybe it felt like, cause like being a teenager, you are like rowdy and crazy. And like, I don't know. Our generation was just wild. Like the stuff that like they were doing and like, you know, also didn't care because we were kids and like have for those kids, like having a place to go and like hang out and, you know, what other trouble would they've been getting into if they weren't there, maybe like getting into trouble there or like, I don't know.
Speaking of wild, we had Natalie and I in Orange County growing up. I don't know if you ever went there, but we actually had a water park called Wild Rivers in Irvine.
Oh yeah.
And I legit was watching this thing thinking like, oh my God, like was Wild Rivers regulated? Like, because it didn't feel like it when you went there. Like it just felt.
That is a child's play compared to Action Park. Oh my
God. 100%, 100%. But it was still like, I remember being like kind of scared when I'd go on some of those big water slides.
I don't think I was ever scared on any of the rides there or slides or anything like that. But I want to say like about this real quickly. Lena and I watched Action Point, which is a Johnny Knoxville film that came out in 2018. That is about a fictitious, you know,
it's based amusement on
park
point.
That was based off of this park. Yeah. And so, and it's, you know, because they have real stunts and all that kind of fun stuff. And it's, you know, it's a fun movie, whatever. And I knew it was based off of a real place, but I didn't do any deeper research on the place. And then when we kind of stumbled across this documentary, I was like, oh my God. Like, and I was so thankful to be able to see it, especially see it after the film. And it was just like wilder than the movie even was. Like crazy. The real thing was crazier than the movie. You know, it just, it's nuts. It's absolutely
and
nuts.
Amazingly, they videotaped so much. Like they had like someone like to get that footage. It's like crazy.
Yeah.
Totally. But
highly recommend.
Yep.
Same. Yeah. That's a major recommend. It's one, it's just hysterical. It is so funny. I mean, not funny that people die there, but like,
I mean, it definitely gets more serious, I think, toward the end. Yeah. The beginning, you're just kind of like, what the fuck is happening? Like, this is a real thing.
And then the animation in it is just so fun. Like the production of it and the editing and pacing of a documentary. It's just, it's very fun. Like it's it's an enjoyable watch, even when it gets into harder territory.
So our intention again this episode, we're going to try to go through these really quickly. I think one of the other things is like, you can't really spoil too much in a documentary. So I think you could probably listen all the way through and, you know, just, we're just talking about things that we recommend and that are fun.
And hopefully we'll highlight something that, you know, piques your interest totally. And then you tune into it. So
totally. Yeah. All right, Lena, you're up next.
Next up, we have Selena Gomez and Chef on HBO Max, television cooking show hosted by Selena Gomez. It premiered on HBO Max August 13th, so it's pretty new. And there is 10 episodes. I don't really remember watching 10 episodes.
Yeah, we did.
I thought it was less than that.
They're
but
pretty quick.
Super interesting. To poor Selena, I guess, moved into this house, doesn't know where any of her utensils are.
Oh,
she definitely
Selena.
Doesn't really know how to cook. But I loved, like, the first one was Ludo, Chef Ludo, and I love him. I love his accent. I love how he cooks. He's hysterical. But I also found a new chef that I really love, Candace Kumai. I thought that whole episode when she made that ramen, and I was just like, love her. And so then I started following her on Instagram, and she's amazing. But it's a really fun show because, you know, I do feel like a bit like Selena sometimes. I don't know what the hell I'm doing in a kitchen. And like to have professional chefs show you, it's kind of wild to like see that.
And it's fun to kind of see them trying to teach her over Zoom and over
Zoom,
a monitor. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So it's like there's definitely a learning curve for how they're communicating with each other, which kind of makes it that adds to the fun. And her roommates join and her grandma and grandpa join.
I'd like to advocate for Liz to have her own show because her roommate Liz is goddamn hysterical.
But they do a lot of really interesting recipes. They, mm-hmm. I mean, they really make her dive into some food that feels like I would be like, I'm not touching that.
Yeah.
And she goes for it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So good. So
you're saying
really fun.
It'd be the show for me then, since I can't.
It's a real fun show. Exactly. Yeah.
Speaking of ramen, rewatched Parasite last night for the first time in I don't know how long. It was like watching it again for the first time. Oh my God. So good. Anyway, digress.
Oh, I love that movie.
I know. Thought of you.
Okay.
Natalie.
Nat.
So this is Expecting Amy on HBO Max. It's a mini series directed by Alexander Hammer. And it follows Amy Schumer through her pregnancy and the creation of her stand-up special, Amy Schumer Growing. So Schumer is also an executive producer on it, and it premiered July 9th this year. And I really want to say, and I know, Sean, you like to say that, you know, she reminds you of me.
I'm not the only
I do
one.
Now, I do take that as a compliment now. And I do love how honest and open and transparent she was about her pregnancy and experience and trying to normalize a lot of what she went through, because I think women suffer in silence sometimes and think maybe that they're the only person that's kind of going through this difficult time. And it's like really giving a real look at what this looks like, you know, and even after the birth of it. And it just it's really crazy, all while she's going on a tour. Mm-hmm. So you're seeing how fucking badass she is, that she's going through this physically.
Yeah, I just got goosebumps. While,
yeah,
the bad, like her perseverance through her pain. It's
and the
crazy.
The layers of this doc, where it's like you're following her as like, also, if you're a fan of stand-up comedy, where it's like you're watching her build on these jokes as she's touring, and it's like, and seeing what jokes work and how she can adjust, and her talking about her life with her husband and him being kind of a little bit
autistic,
you know, uncomfortable with some of the jokes that she's making. Mm-hmm. There's so many elements to it. It's very, very interesting.
Interesting. This is actually in my queue. I've not watched it yet, but you're selling me on watching it sooner than later. Sounds fun.
Yeah, I really enjoyed it.
Cool. Check it out. All right. Up next is one that I have not seen. Apparently, this is on both HBO Max and Hulu. It's a two-part documentary that looks at the case of Michelle Carter, who was charged with coercing her boyfriend into suicide via text. I have actually been wanting to see this. I'm familiar with the story, and the story is incredibly fascinating to me. And I don't know the outcome, so I think maybe the documentary would be kind of cool to see. It is called I Love You, Now Die.
I think you should definitely tune into this like right away. It's very fascinating, and it's like trying to build, you know, I think some history with how we respond to cyberbullying or virtual bullying. And it's, you have to take a stand against some of this, and there needs to be some accountability when you do have these actions and you're being this flippant about how you communicate with people.
It's when we haven't wild. Set a precedent yet. I mean, legally, right? Like, I'm sure this exactly. is probably one of those cases that did that. So
yeah, exactly. Definitely. So excited. I think it's incredibly important. And it's, you know, for someone, I don't have children, but it's
you
like,
don't?
For shockingly, I don't, but it's like, I do think for people, parents that have kids that are teens that are, have cell phones and social media, like this is definitely one of those things to watch and be aware Harry. Of how kids are talking to each other these days. Like it's fucking wild.
It's disgraceful.
Yeah.
It's totally disgraceful.
Yeah.
Because I think that one of the things about online, and we'll get to this in another document that's coming up in a second, yeah. but it's that there's no consequence. It's not like a real life interaction where like you can see on someone's face that you visibly, you know, that you've hurt them or you've hurt their feelings or something. And so it's so much easier to just be a dick. Mm-hmm. You know, or potentially like drive someone to suicide. Like I'm so glad that I grew up after or rather before all of that came about because I don't know how I would handle it.
Yeah. Yeah. It's rough out there.
Yeah.
Rough.
Yeah. Next is, this is another series and it's a 6-part documentary series based on the book of the same name, I'll Be Gone in the Dark. And it explores writer Michelle McNamara's investigation into the dark world of the violent predator she dubbed the Golden State Killer. So it's the man who terrorized California in the 70s and 80s and is responsible for 50 home invasion rapes and 12 murders. I feel like there's way more murders than that. But it's also a podcast, Man in the Window from Wonderly LA Times. So,
okay, you just gave me the chills because you know, so you know about my issue with Richard Ramirez, The Night Stalker,
yes.
right? Okay.
Yes.
I will not watch this documentary because it's too much of a resemblance to that.
Okay. I was going to tell you, watching the documentary is not as bad as listening to the podcast. I listened to the podcast.
Really?
And it is terrifying.
Really?
The podcast scared the living shit out of me.
I have the chills. Like
I got the chills. The podcast scared the living shit out of me. And I, you know, it wasn't a McNamara's like podcast. This was a whole separate other thing. And it is terrifying.
This is more about Michelle McNamara about herself and how she got involved into this
so
story.
Much more interesting. And, well, not more interesting, but interesting in a different way where it's like, and her, she's not a cop or anything. And it's in an investigation that she did on her own.
Yeah. It's she's just a civilian investigator that the internet has turned a lot of people into, and it's mm-hmm. kind of where it ended up taking her. And I think, you know, she was a writer and married to Patton Oswalt. And so I think this was just something that she got really interested in and pursued at a much deeper level and got access to information that most people wouldn't have access to. So it's more about her journey with that in her life. And honestly, I liked the documentary. It's 6 episodes. It should have been 5. So some of the episodes kind of drag and are a little long, but yeah. It's still a very good show.
Yeah. And if you like true crime,
absolutely.
Like I know that you're like, that terrifies you, Sean, but like, I don't recommend the podcast for you. It's terrifying. But I think this documentary actually is so much more interesting into like a civilian's investigation of like, you know, so it's not as like, I didn't feel as like terrified of like the stories that they were telling. You know?
And also, I was just going to say, it also really, and this is a weird way to say it, and I don't know a better way of saying it, but it like celebrates the survivors mm-hmm. and really sees them come together as a group all of these years later. And I think, you know, I think that that's one thing that a lot of these true crime, you know, whether it's podcasts or shows or documentaries, that they don't really do. And so there's almost an element of hope when you're done watching the show, which is very rare on this type of programming.
Yeah. You know, it's funny. So fictitious, like fictional movies do not scare me. They don't give me nightmares. I mean, I'm scared in the moment and I love watching them, but I don't usually leave thinking like, oh, I'm going to have bad dreams tonight. Stuff like this legit gives me nightmares. And I really do think it harkens back to like some weird thing in my childhood. Like I was terrified of Richard Ramirez, The Night Stalker. Like, and this lives so close in that vein. I mean, I told mm-hmm. you guys my story about American Horror Story about, could not watch ever any, I couldn't watch it anymore. Like, I don't know what it is, but I know that it looks interesting. I just don't know if I could do it.
Yeah. All right. Next up, again on HBO Max, we have The Vow. It's a documentary series following a number of people deeply involved in the self-improvement group Nexium over the course of several years. It's a self-improvement group that leads into a sex cult. So it's wild and crazy. Kind. I mean, it to the point where ladies are getting branded.
Oh, shit.
It is wild.
Crazy.
It's so
we're in the middle of it right now.
Yeah, it's not because it's out right now. So they, I don't know how many more episodes there are left.
Yeah, I don't know.
They're drip feeding episodes, though, right?
Yes. Yes. Because it's on actual HBO as well as on HBO Max. But it's so interesting because the first episode really just builds the world of this group and the basis of their fundamentals and how they got started. And I was like, what are we watching? I thought this was the sex cult group or whatever.
You need to know how they get you.
Yeah. And so it's like they really build like what people were being sold before things mm-hmm. turned. It was.
Well, I also too listened to the podcast.
Yeah.
And I was totally like, I want to know more information. Like, this is like crazy. Like, where are we with this? And like, what is going on with this guy now? Cause I think at some point, not to spoil anything, not that there's a spoiler, but you can look it up. I think he's been arrested for something. I don't know.
Hey, but spoiler.
Anyways, when I listened to the podcast, it was like super interesting. So when this came out, I was like, oh my God, putting faces to these people and then seeing the pictures and, you know, and interestingly enough, Whitney Cummings, comedian, she has been watching it and I follow her, and on her story, she's like, is it a little weird that sometimes I think they have like really good points
that oh, they totally
are
do.
Nice to like kind of teach that in a group and as human beings of how we should be acting and how mm-hmm. we should treat, which is how they trick you, because those do seem like good things, good intentions, mm-hmm. but then deep down it's for something out, like to get you into something else. It's ugh, it's creepy.
So I watched the first
episode. I feel like I totally would have gotten involved in it.
Yeah, I watched the first episode of it and I didn't love it. It didn't resonate a lot. I'm curious to hear if you guys finish it, what you think. I might go back and watch the rest of it. I think I watched the first two episodes and I don't know. It wasn't that interesting to me. Like, it wasn't a special cult. I've seen the cult documentaries before and this didn't like feel like anything new.
Yeah, I think we watched the fourth one this weekend or the third.
Yeah, I think fourth one.
And then it really gets into like what they're doing.
Yeah, I think it takes until like the third episode really be diving into it. And then we're going to talk about another documentary series that we're watching too that like kicks right into gear. And oof. I was like, why can't the Vow be like this? Like, yeah, you know, because it's especially even the second episode, I think, of the Vow, it's very slow. Yeah. And it's like all about this one guy and his coming to grips with what he's being told. And mm-hmm. so it basically repeats all of the fundamentals of what he followed with this person mm-hmm. and then his falling out. And it's like, I don't care. We learned that the first episode. Yeah. Let's get to the shit that we want to hear, you know? So mm-hmm. now that we're in it, it's very interesting.
Interesting. Okay. Well, maybe I'll finish it. Let me know what you think.
Okay.
All right. So that wraps up our HBO Max segment. Or other section. Now we're gonna move on to the next round are all available on Netflix. And the next one up is probably one of the most impactful documentaries that I've watched in a really long time. It's a documentary, I was super excited for it and it's out and it's just as great as I wanted it to be. It's a documentary drama hybrid, which I'm curious to talk to you guys about that piece of it a little bit because I thought that was kind of interesting.
So
that
interesting,
But it explores the dangerous human, I wish I could talk today. It explores the dangerous human impact of social networking with tech experts sounding the alarm on their own creations. And I have to say, this really shook me. It's called The Social Dilemma. And I think for me, it was to hear about all of these platforms and how they're actively trying, like they're actively working right now, not like in the past. They're still doing it, working to manipulate us, and that there is literally no regulation or oversight. And I want you to guys like seriously take a moment to think about that, because there is no congressional oversight on any of these platforms. They're all just, it's free reign. They get to do whatever the fuck they want. And the second this ended, I literally turned off all the notifications on my phone with the exception of my text messages. And I felt a little better after that, I have to say.
Oh, good.
I think that it's worth watching more than once because I think there's so much information that they're giving you about what's going on right now. I think this is probably one of the most important documentaries you could watch because all of us stare at these slabs of glass all day long and the impact that it's having on our lives is profound. And I can't say enough about this. Watch it. Watch it immediately.
Yeah. I mean, it's like, go ahead.
Go ahead. Sorry. There you go.
Oh, I was just going to say, it's like probably the newest one that's out. And like, I feel like hopefully causing a stir. Like, I feel like adults, parents should be watching this. I doubt teenagers are watching it because they're on their TikToks. But it's interesting. We knew the manipulation of like ads and all of that stuff. But like the other stuff that like really is just so, I don't know. I don't know how to explain it, but like just the way that they get into your mind and like, I feel really sad for the kids nowadays. Like it really makes me like sad. Like, but also happy kids. That I don't have kids.
It's
that
us I don't too, though. Have. We're victims of this right now too. No, I know it's us, too.
But like, but at least I like at some point I know. Okay, this is happening to me. Like, I don't have notifications on. I hate when that stuff dings, ding, dings. And I, yes, I'm addicted to TikTok, but I've also limited myself now because I know that I get on there and I can scroll for 3 hours and I don't do that anymore. Like I just don't, I can click myself out of that because I know that it's a problem. I don't know. It's just scary. It's scary.
It's hard because I feel like, and not this is to like toot my own horn, but I'm a little bit more of like an adjusted adult where since I got Instagram, I turned notifications off. Turn notifications off on Facebook. I don't want to be bothered by that. And I knew I wanted to, like, when I'm making the decision to sign on to something is when I'll see that I have a message or a like or a follow or whatever it is. So that's been my mindset since the beginning, because I think I saw people that were like, ooh, look at that person liked it. No, this person liked it. It's like, but you never get like you time if this thing is always grabbing your attention on your phone, you know? Mm-hmm. So it just, to me, that's how I've always, and I don't feel like I'm being manipulated. To me, the ads that are being targeted to me, sometimes they're helpful. And I'm like, fuck yeah, I want that. Thank you for following all my shit and hearing me. I mean,
that's manipulation.
It is, but in the sense where it's like, great, cool. I'm happy to buy that, you know? And then there's things where I'm like, that's clearly not for me and I don't want it. Or you'll talk about, you know, the cat something or whatever. And then it shows up on my thing. And it's like, fucking Instagram, pay attention. I don't have a cat, you know? So it just.
Stop watching cat videos.
I know. I do watch a lot of cat videos. They're so funny. but it just, you know, it's hard. So it's like, I understand and I sympathize for the fact of like children, because they don't have the emotional maturity mm-hmm. to like be able to make those decisions. And, you know, and honestly, like the acting and the small vignettes of videos that they did, like the girl that like was being told, commented about like her ears and stuff and her just staring in the mirror crying. I was like, my heart is breaking for this young girl. And that to me is the impact that I'm concerned about. But how do you regulate that stuff? But she also
broke into the thing to get her phone out because she needed to have it.
Yeah. But it's like, how do you regulate that stuff? Kids are going to be fucking dicks. You know, that's, it's hard. Like that isn't a congressional issue. That's a people issue. And
your kids got more than one account. Just FYI, they ain't got the one account you think that's their private account. They got several.
Yeah. I just personally, I think I agree with the people who work at these places because in the fact that they're saying, I'm not letting my kid be on social media until they're 16 or whatever. To me, that is exactly the mindset that should be in place because kids aren't mature enough to be able to have that much communication and tie to their friends and opinions and advertising and marketing and expectations of the world. Like that needs to be monitored by the parents for sure, you know?
But also on the other side of that, he works there and he knows that and doesn't let his kids watch it or have it, shouldn't he be advocating to have rules then against it? Like, or some sort of any kind of monitoring? Like, he works there. Like, or don't work there then, because like that's, and I feel like a lot of people now are actually quitting like these things, right? Because they're just like, we just can't, the fake news stuff and all the things. Like, I feel like there's a whole other group of people that are like, we don't want to be involved in that. I don't know. It's a great doc. You got to watch it.
All right.
Okay. Cool. Next up.
Yeah. Lena, you're up.
We're going to do another Netflix doc. That was
the hand signal to wrap it up.
Huh?
He was telling you to wrap it up.
Oh, I know. Okay. But I thought he had something to say.
No.
Okay. Next up, we have Fire in Paradise. This documentary, the survivors recall the catastrophic 2018 campfire, which razed the town of Paradise and became California's deadliest wildfire until just about a week ago.
Yeah. Did you guys actually watch this one?
Yes. Yes.
It's only 40 minutes. It's 40 minutes. It's very, very quick. There is a new, so this came out last year. And so there's a new one that Ron Howard directed that just came out, but it's only for purchase for $14.99. And it's like, as much as I like documentaries, these aren't really rewatchable films. So I'm not really wanting to buy it. I'd happily rent it for $5.99, happily, you know, and I can't rent it anywhere. So but this gives you the timeline of how quickly this fire just engulfed this town. And there's so much footage from the day because everybody has cell phones and it just, and then
I did not realize that it was that. I was just like, how does this happen? How did this happen? I couldn't understand it. I've never seen anything like that before in my life.
I will say, out of all the documentaries we've watched, like, this scared me the most.
Yeah, it's scary.
Like, well, even the serial killers, everything, this scared me the most.
Yeah, because this can't be controlled.
I mean, given what's going on right now, obviously, like, right now, right?
Exactly.
I think someone on the news the other day was saying the scariest thing. They were talking about how, like, there are literally some of these towns, I think it was a town in Oregon, that there's literally nothing they can do for them, and they know that. So they're just going to die in a fire. And I was just thinking, like, I can't believe in 2020, that is the only resort that they have. It's just like, what's going on right now? And talk about climate change and how that integrates in all this is like a totally different conversation, but it's terrifying.
Yeah. And I will say, to whatever your political beliefs are, this documentary, yes, it touches on the reason why these wildfires are, every single one of them are unprecedented each time. And yes, it's climate change, but it's not a climate change documentary. It is about this specific fire, this town, the, you know, firefighters, the medical response team, the teachers trying to get the kids out of the school.
Oh my God. Goosebumps. It's so scary.
Yeah. If you're curious about like how these wildfires get started and how this happens and how we're unable to fight it, that's more, I think, why you should be tuning in, you know?
Yeah. It's on my list. I definitely want to watch it.
Yeah.
It's
really good.
Again, and it's 40 minutes, very short.
Yeah. So it's very short, but very terrifying. Natalie?
So the next one, it's a little bit older, but I do think it's a good one to bring up, especially given the time that we're in. It's 13th, and it's Ava DuVernay's documentary. It's scholars, activists, and politicians analyze the criminalization of African Americans and the U.S. prison boom. So it really dives into how slavery and, you know, prisons and jails kind of tie into each other and the lack of freedom given to African Americans even today. So I think it really gives you, like, if you're interested in paying attention and learning more about the Black Lives Matter movement, this is definitely one to give you some more education on it, and is very, very interesting. So I definitely recommend. It
shines
recommend.
A light on something that I didn't think I knew about ever. So it's very educational to like learn what's been going on.
Yeah, I think I watched this one. I feel like it came out about a year ago, if I'm not mistaken. Yeah. And I watched it when it first came out because there was a ton of hype around it. And I agree, if you have not seen this, I mean, if one of the things I love about documentaries is their ability to persuade and show things from a perspective that you might not have thought about before. And this documentary completely exemplifies that statement because to your point, like there's things that you learn about obviously what's become the Black Lives Matter movement and why that's so important. But it's just, it's insane to me when they even dive into like how there's like for-profit prisons and how they've been corporatized. Oh, yeah. It's just like, it's so insane to me that like our prison system has not been reformed. And the United States is the worst. I mean, yeah. We think that we're like this exemplary country in the way that we do so many things politically. And it's just, it's a disgrace. And the fact that the African-American community has been so negatively impacted by this is just disgraceful.
Yeah. It's, I mean, honestly, it's a topic that I wasn't really ever paying too much attention to.
Yeah.
And now prison reform is definitely something that I want to follow closely. And I think they even touch on, we watched it a while ago, but that prisoners fight wildfires. And then when they're released, cannot become firemen. So it's like even a trade that they're doing in prison, they're good enough to do it when they're in jail, but not when they're released, and should be reformed and should be able to rejoin society. Mm-hmm. And that's so ridiculous. And so, you know, this week, Gavin Newsom just passed that bill that, you know, this is an opportunity for, you know, reformed prisoners to be able to apply and get their records expunged. Yep. If they're a nonviolent criminal. And I think that's really important. And it's totally a great step forward. And obviously we need the help and we need the firefighters.
Yeah.
Yep. Especially now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm sure it's going to be worse in 2021, people. Pay attention.
Especially we're going to have an El Nina where we're not going to have any rain, and it's going to be even worse next year.
Yeah. I know. I've been praying for rain all week.
Make sure you rake your leaves.
Yeah. Sweep the forests. God.
Because they'll just explode.
Can't you just see him out there in his oversized suit with a fucking rake sweeping the forest? Jesus. Come on.
I just can't.
Okay.
I can't.
All right. Next up, we got a whole other episode about this coming up for you people. You're going to love it.
You just wait, everybody. You wait.
All right. Up next is a 2017 documentary that focuses on the mind-body interventions and follows several individuals who use these techniques after being diagnosed with a fatal illness. It's called Heal. And I personally found this to be incredibly insightful. I'm definitely someone who very much believes in the power of like the mind-body connection. And this one is definitely worth checking out. I'm not sure if either of you ladies watch this one, but it's very good.
No. Definitely something I want to watch. I'm definitely mind-body, all that. Love it.
Check it out. All right, Lena, you're up next.
Next. Okay, so we just watched this one and I'm completely in love with these ladies. It's called A Secret Love. And amid shifting times, two women kept their decades-long love a secret. But coming out later in life comes out with its own set of challenges. These ladies are the cutest goddamn things I've ever seen. I love old people and like just the love for each other. And one lady actually played on the All-American like baseball league, League of Their Own. And she's so cute and like how they met each other and just they were known as just the girls, but they were in like a coupled relationship for like 70 years. It is crazy.
I think they were like together for like 65 years before they came out to.
Yes. Yes.
It's just.
It's the cutest story.
They're very cute, but it really another element that it dives into, which is like really hard because it's. I will be honest, one of my least great qualities about myself is my impatience with the elderly. Okay. It's not a good trait for me. And I feel very bad about it.
Hopefully this changed your mind.
It did. And it made me want to like, you know, I should be wanting to be a better person all around anyways. It shouldn't take a documentary for me to be like, oh, stop being an asshole about this, you know? But it just, I think the idea, I don't know if it's like because I'm getting older. I mean, we're all getting older, but you know, as I age and feel it in my back more and all of that stuff, that it's becoming more of a reality that it's like, oh, I'm not 20 anymore. And it's just, and I'm closer to them than I am a child. And, you know, and it just, it's
so depressing,
scary to think about losing your independence. And like, you know, there's a lot of discussion about putting them in a home, and it's like, and there's a lot of pushback on that. And it's, you know, my grandmother is going to be 96 and she still lives on her own and is fighting it. And all of our family's like trying to talk to her about it. And we have somebody coming in there now. And it's just like, it's, I can't imagine how hard I would fight to keep every shred of independence I had, you know, and it just, it's devastating. And it's like, I think we just dismiss them and treat them. Maybe me, I do that, you know, or just like, you're too slow, get out of my way, you know. And it's just,
I guess this is where I want people, I wish I had a kid so they could put me in a home, because I'm like, that sounds awesome, someone feeds you all the time and like you don't have to do anything, that sounds great.
I know. I just like, I just, to me, it like, I don't know, it hit really hard because that is something that I've been thinking about a lot lately, and it's just a really tough. It's like, I don't, packing up their house and like,
I know,
talking about their arrangements when they die, how morbid and sad, like I'm still alive, like I'm still in here. And it's like, to be treated that, I'm just like, and it wasn't, they were doing it out of love, they did it the best possible way you could do it, but it still feels like you're packing up this person's house and like treating them like they've already died. I just like, it's devastating. It's just really, I don't know. It was a documentary I needed to hopefully become a better person and treat the elderly better. Okay, next one. Crip Camp. So this is actually Michelle and Barack Obama are executive producers on it. It's a groundbreaking summer camp that galvanizes a group of teens with disabilities to help build a movement forging a new path towards greater equality. So it talks about the growth and movement towards the Americans with Disabilities Act and really dives into how they got that passed. And it's so interesting, especially in a time where it's like, we need this activation and movement to see a group of people and their determination and their fight.
The smallest group too. Like this cute, tiny little group of people that like, we're not going to stop.
Yeah.
It's heartwarming. It's really amazing.
Yeah. And it's, again, being somebody that's like, I'm not disabled and I can walk down the stairs to get to a subway. These are things I never thought about. And it's like how they had to live life before this was passed, where it's just like, you're not treated as a human being that is a member of society. You're already written off. So it's very, it's interesting to see how hard they fought to get this passed. And
your kids are hindering the other kids that are, yeah, can just walk. So she can't come to school here. Ugh. Like what? Crazy. Yeah.
So it's a good one.
Cool. Sounds great. I'll check it out. I know that Michelle and Barack, you know, I feel like I know them, so I can call them Michelle and Barack. I know that they've signed like a really lucrative, extensive deal with Netflix for a ton of different docs. So I'm excited to dive in and watch all of them. I still need to watch Becoming, which I don't see on your list. I'm shocked about that.
No, we didn't watch that.
We haven't watched that yet.
Haven't watched it yet either, but it's on my list. Up next, you guys really want me to talk about murder mysteries for some reason tonight.
Apparently. I'm obsessed with true crime.
I can see that. I can see that based on this list. So the trials of Gabriel Hernandez, I've actually not heard about this one. So I'm curious.
Oh my God.
It's right here in Los Angeles, Sean. It's
really? Okay.
It is so
A boy's brutal murder and the public trials of his guardians and social workers prompt questions about the system's protection of vulnerable children. It definitely sounds a little too intense for me, but tell me why I should watch it.
Very intense.
The system. Yeah. The system is fucked, and police and the system and the judicial and the courts and the people that are trying to help these kids, that I feel like sometimes it's hopeless because this, I mean, the things that happened to this poor kid, I think he was 7 when he died. And the things that happened up until the moment he died were horrendous. And he still was in the home. They never took him out. It's really devastating to watch. And you have to, it's a child. He's a baby. And it's just
very hard to watch. But I think, again, in the sense of like, I hope this time that we're at in the world that everybody is feeling like they can be an active participant in making the world better. And I hope that, you know, BLM, everything that's going on right now, it's like everybody's taking this as a time to like, how can they be activated? And I think that there's so many areas that need help. And this is one particular area. And I will say, like, one friend of ours, not because of this documentary, but like she is volunteering to like help be a counselor and, you know, be take on cases and see children because that's needed. There's too many children and not enough people working these social programs.
For them. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And it just, it's unbelievable. And it's like something where it's like the teacher reported numerous times to these social workers these new abuses that she was seeing on this child, and they're like, okay, we'll take care of it, we'll take care of it. And time and time again, nobody ever went out to the house to check on this kid. And if they did go out to the house, the mom would be like, oh no, he's fine, he's inside, he's sleeping. And they never requested to step inside the home and see the actual child. So it's like, again, the same thing with I Love You Now Die, where it's like trying to set a precedent for the responsibility. If you have this job and you have been trained for this job, what are you responsible for? And if you're not taking action, then shouldn't some of this blame lie on you? So,
and I think one main point too is actually the social workers that didn't do anything actually got, I don't know if they got thrown in jail, but they definitely had to go to court. And there was a court case against them about their lack of, I don't know, what's the word?
They all got charged with, I think, something, murder charge. But they all just like
second degree, I don't know, something.
Yeah, a month ago they were all, it was dismissed.
Spoiler alert.
So it was spoiler alert. But I mean, it's just like, it is devastating. And it's hopefully
they change their minds about stuff and really...
But, hopefully the charges alone create some systemic change to the organization in itself, where it's like there's more accountability to following up with, you know, that the supervisors need to make sure that they're following, listening to reports and, you know, being more thorough with their investigation, because it just, you can't let it go.
Because it's right here in Los Angeles, it just hits home really hard, really, really hard.
So I'll move on to the next one. It is depressing, so just get ready for that. Athlete A. So it's the documentary that focuses on the gymnast who survived USA Gymnastics Dr. Larry Nassar's abuse and the reporters who exposed USA Gymnastics' toxic culture. So
the sick fuck.
Oh my God. What the fuck is wrong with people? I just don't understand. This is like, there should be a whole segment on what the fuck is wrong with people, and we'll loop in these talks.
I could do a whole podcast on that, a whole separate this type guy, of show.
This guy is the sickest of the sick. It's just, God.
Just, it's gross. But it's like, it's really showing, again, where there's a problem within an organization and cover up. And rather than people first time hearing something, fire the guy. What are you doing? Like, and the fact that they are allowing it to continue and for him to still be employed, this is the problem. This is the problem with all of these documentaries that we're talking about, in this sense where it's like, it's a system and it's lack of accountability or wanting to like shake things. I don't know what the hell is going on, but it's
why
like,
are you hiding this guy? This guy should be outed and stoned in the streets.
Yeah.
Like, why do we hide these people? Because like, just because we hired him, you didn't know he was like this. You shouldn't take that as your company's problem. Now that you hit it, it is the company's problem.
Yeah.
But before that, it's not. And you should kick him the fuck out of your company and have him arrested. It's crazy. And like, oh, all these girls are just lying. They're just teenagers. They don't know what they're talking about. I'm sorry. When 100 girls are saying the same exact fucking thing, it's true. And I love at the end when they all say their letters to the judge.
Yeah.
It is like so empowering. It's so empowering.
We're really spoiling a lot of these, but
well, come on. You got to watch it for just for that reason.
Yeah. It's really,
the comeback is like great.
really advocating for the survivors of this as well.
Totally. Oh God. Next up, another bad one, I guess. Jeffrey Epstein, filthy rich. Ay, ay, ay. This guy, another one. Stories from survivors fuel this docuseries examining how convicted sex offender Jeffrey Epstein used his wealth and power to carry out his abuses. There's also another documentary type movie thing called Surviving Jeffrey Epstein on Lifetime, kind of like a Surviving R. Kelly.
Docudrama.
Surviving, yeah. It's this guy, ugh, geez, another one. Another one. Covering up just because he's rich, just because he can do what he wants to do. It's, I just don't understand.
I feel like more than that, this one is particularly compelling to me because I'm really fascinated by politics and the connections that this guy has to so many powerful people, so many powerful people. And yet he was quote unquote committed suicide, whatever that means. I think any logical person knows that's not what happened. Right. Mm-hmm. And now his girlfriend slash madam slash, I don't know what to call her, pimp.
She's a disgusting human being.
Oh, and like, it's funny because this...
She is too.
I feel like this documentary does a better job of exposing her even than him. Mm-hmm. Because she was doing all the dirty work behind the scenes.
Oh, yeah.
He was the one that was like, you know, obviously committing the crimes. But she is more disgusting than him in a lot of ways. And
so it's that cult leader type thing where like, oh, I'm going to do whatever my master wants me to do. Like, what? Who are you, lady? Like, what are you doing to these girls? I don't see it that way, though.
I see the girls as the cult, right? Because I understand like the Stockholm syndrome-ness in, behind like how these women reacted and why they didn't, you know, flee or whatever, or they continue to stay involved. I don't look at Ghislaine as the cult's member. I look at her as like she was like the cult recruiter. I don't know. I know,
but he got to her somehow for her to feel like she should be doing that. Like
maybe, I don't know.
Or if she's the crazy master. I mean, either way, they're both disgusting. Yeah. It's
very compelling though. I agree. It's definitely, this is something that was definitely worth watching. I watched it almost reluctantly. Everybody kept telling me how great it was and that I should check it out. And it's a fascinating, fascinating documentary.
Yeah. And as much as like, you know, I know there's this weird pedo gate situation going on now where people think all Democrats and Hollywood are hiding a bunch of pedophiles.
Oh yeah.
It's just so ridiculous. And so I want to say like, as my political beliefs are, like, I will never say that I don't think Bill Clinton being on that island wasn't doing some shady shit some 15, 16 year olds. Like, I will never say for sure. And especially after like watching the Monica Lewinsky, we should have put that on the list. Like that recent documentary show, whatever that was so fucking fascinating where it's like, you're hearing her side of it.
The podcast.
We really should have put that on here. Well, she was on the podcast with Dax Shepard, but she also had that show. Remember where she like really broke down her experience. Oh. Fuck. We should have put that on here. But to me, it was like, no, you're a fucking disgusting human being.
They're disgusting.
He's gross. Like, I'm sorry. He just is. And also, Donald Trump.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Donald Trump settled a lawsuit that he was named with Jeffrey Epstein by a girl who sued them because she was raped.
Which was like 13 years old.
Yes. Yeah. And he settled. And there's legal documentation. So you
Pizzagate his ass.
You really need to be paying attention to the other side of it too, of the person that you're supporting. Crazy. Like it's fucking insane.
Oh, they're not friends anymore. Well, they used to be friends.
But he wishes her well.
Yeah. Oh, fuck off, fuck man. Off. This is disgusting.
All right, let's move on. It's gonna turn into a whole different conversation there, ladies.
These things really rile me up.
Got that coming up. All right. Up next is another Netflix documentary. It's called Hello Privilege, It's Me, Chelsea. And obviously this is Chelsea Handler. She explores how white privilege impacts American culture and the ways it's benefited her own life and career. I loved this documentary. It's probably about a year and a half, maybe 2 years old. She got a lot of flack, I remember, when this came out. From kind of all sides, people just, I don't know. I personally, I thought that the critiques that she was getting from all sides kind of proved her point of why it was important to do the documentary. I definitely have to say that I personally commend her for having these difficult conversations in such a public way. I think one of the main critiques about this is that it's a little too surfacey. I don't think it dives in necessarily deep enough. Like she interviews like housewives and I don't know, suburban Atlanta or something. That's about
in Orange County.
Oh, were they in OC?
Orange County.
Same thing. Same fucking thing. I don't know. I just, it's definitely worth watching. And I would say if you haven't watched it in 2020, watch it now, because I think that it's an interesting thing to revisit post, you know, all of these the protests. Because
she did this movement before that.
It was released in 2019. So
yeah,
I mean, not before the inception and start of BLM, right, but before George Floyd and all that of that activation that happened now. Yeah. Mm-hmm. But I do think, you know, because we went through and like immediately after that really tried to watch as much as we could and read as much as we could. And this was one of the things that we watched. And yeah, I totally agree. It could have been less surface level, but I think you were kind of watching somebody that is white and privileged in real time learn for the first time how they were privileged.
Yeah.
And I appreciate her honesty in the sense that she was allowing people to kind of go on this journey with her. Cause it's like, I don't think she ever paid attention to that stuff before. And I think a lot of people don't pay attention to that stuff, you know? And it's like in hearing her experience about how she was never arrested during all of the situations that she was in with her boyfriend at the time, like, and having drugs on her, and like he got arrested every single time and she got sent home and told to not hang out in that neighborhood. But it's like, you're just as culpable if you're participating in all of these acts as your boyfriend is, but he's the only one getting in trouble. Mm-hmm. And you're just getting sent off with a verbal warning. Like, this is, and the life trajectory of these two people. And unfortunately, she didn't know that until she just sat down and had these conversations for the first time, you know? So I appreciate that she's trying to do some of the work, you know?
Yeah.
For sure.
That's great. Next up, one of the best things of 2020 to come out of 2020.
I think it's the only good thing to come out of 2020.
I mean, maybe the only good thing. It's The Last Dance. If you haven't watched The Last Dance, you need to get, Sean, you better watch this. I'm telling you, it will change your life. The docuseries chronicles the rise of superstar Michael Jordan in the 1990s Chicago Bulls with unaired footage from an unforgettable 97-98 season.
I'm so not a sports fan.
Look,
but like,
I'm not a basketball fan.
Nothing could be less interesting than...
I mean, a lot of people will become like basketball fans after this. I get it. I'm still not. Look, Michael Jordan is a phenom, and his mindset and the way he treated his whole career and the way he treated others and the way he got through things. He's from out of this world. He is from a different planet. I don't know what happened. And that whole magic season that happened when he was on the Bulls, it's incredible. Incredible what they went through, and incredible the bringing all of those together. Phil Jackson, you know, Scottie Pippen, all of that. I didn't know all of the stuff behind the scenes. I was younger too, but like learning all of this, it's just crazy how smart this man is and how dedicated he was to like being the best he could be. It's great.
And I will tell you, Sean, there's not a single person I've told to watch this series who did not feel the same way I felt. Mm-hmm. Everybody was
moved.
Floored.
You're moved.
Floored by him. It feels like you're living that time period with them and you're on the floor and you're a part of the team, mm-hmm, even though you're not. Okay. I'm not a basketball fan. I've never even been to a live basketball game. I can't wait for Corona to be over so I can buy basketball tickets. Like, wow. This is... completely changed my mindset on the sport itself, on certain players.
Be social so bad, you'll do anything at Winkler. She's like, basketball, baseball, football, whatever. Just take me outside.
Anything.
That could play a part in this, but it's like, I do think watching greatness.
Yeah.
It's,
yeah,
he's
listen,
the greatest.
I'm willing to confess to all of that. There's nothing that you've said that I don't agree with or wouldn't resonate. Yeah. I have such an aversion to sports. I don't know what it is in my life. That I was so glad that I didn't have to watch this for this episode, because I was just I will watch the first episode and see
watch
what happens.
Watch the first episode at least.
Okay.
Yeah. If you're not compelled, then fine. Yeah. But It's so good.
Then something's wrong with you.
All right. Up next is one that I actually really want to see. Natalie, tell us about it because it's on my list and I just haven't got around to it yet.
Oh.
So this is McMillions. So this was actually at Sundance.
Did you see it at Sundance?
I didn't. because it's a 6-part, I think, series. And so I'm not going to sit in the theater for 6 hours there and watch this. Anyways. So the series details how the scam was perpetrated by Jerry Jacobson, the head of security for the agency that ran the promotion, and how he recruited a wide range of accomplices. So basically, the FBI was tipped off that there was fraudulent winners in the McMillions Monopoly game. And it's really wild how this all went down and the connections of all the winners. And I mean, I think maybe there were some legitimate winners, but I don't know how there were. Like, there's just this whole ring is just insane. And the FBI agent,
I love him. I am obsessed.
He was a very young FBI agent and saw the post-it note that somebody had taken this tip, and he was like, that's kind of interesting and weird. And had he not done this, who knows if this had ever been actually followed through with? Because I think the person who took the message and the tip was like, I don't think that this is real. And he was just intrigued enough to pursue it. And he is the most entertaining FBI agent I've ever seen in my entire life.
I've never wanted to be an FBI agent more than watching this guy.
Like, so you could be like partners with him. He is so funny. Awesome. And when the show was over, I was like actually sad to not see this guy anymore because he was so funny, like, and so wild and an energy I don't think I've seen in a really long time.
Yeah, he is a lot of energy.
Yeah. The story itself is so twisted and wild and crazy, but this
just
guy makes
when you
it.
Think it's just something that they're just doing that it's a whole nother thing.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right.
Okay, your turn, Sean.
Up next, actor Zac Efron. Giving him new names. Listen, Zaffron. He journeys around the world with wellness expert Darren Olin in a travel show that explores healthy, sustainable ways to live, and it is called Down to Earth with Zac Efron. And I have to say, this is also in my queue. I have not yet watched it. I have to kind of be in the mood for these, like, I don't know, explore the world and eat weird food shows. And I feel like that's kind of what this is. Did you guys watch this yet?
Yeah.
Loved
it. Great. Mm-hmm. I mean, you get to watch Zac Efron for hours. So why wouldn't you want to do that? And it's not, yes, they eat weird food, but that's, but not really. There's so much more to it. There's so much more to it. So it's
super interesting. And the fact that he's like taking this journey to actually find these things to, like, because I guess that guy Darren has like really been into this for years, and I forget how they met each other on something, and they just formed this crazy bond, and then they decided to go all over the world and learn about, you know, other things that they can do to, like, you know, live better and try to make the world better, and like how other countries are treating, you know, what they do, and to learn like the creativity that's out there. And also the people that just live off the land and that's how they live. And it's wonderful. It's really fun. It's a good time.
Yeah.
And Zac Efron, hello.
It's beautifully shot. It's, I mean, a great travelogue of where they're going. And so I think that alone is kind of fun to see different places. You know, it shows like these great waterfalls and different, you know, parts of nature and the centenarian communities in Italy and how long they've been alive, and they go visit the, and what is your nutrition like and what do you do? It's very, very fascinating. And, you know, living a more sustainable life for the world and for, you know, Earth and for your body. It's very interesting.
Super interesting.
And Zac Efron.
And Zac Efron.
Okay, Lena.
Next up. I'm cheerleading back here. The next one is probably one of the biggest documentary series. Well,
It was a series on Netflix called Cheer. This gripping docuseries follows the ups and downs of Navarro College's competition cheer squad as they work to win a coveted national title over and over again because they are the best and everyone wants to cheer there. And if I was a teenager, I'd want to go to this damn school and cheer there as well. It's in Texas. And I just want to be on the mat. I want to get on the mat. And I want to do some cheers. I want to be flipped around. And I want to win some damn titles. It's so competitive. It's so great. Did you watch it, Sean?
No.
Oh, my God. I know Natalie didn't watch it because she's like, oh, hell no.
No, thank you.
But it is crazy how competitive these cheerleaders are and the struggles that they go through to, like, just – It's like a community college in Texas. It's not even a big college. And like they have the best cheer team and it's Monica is the cheer coach. And she's just like, it's great. I mean, I don't know if you've heard other people talk about this, but it's one of the best like docuseries I've ever seen. It's so great.
No, this is the first time I've actually heard anyone mention it.
What?
Really?
Yeah.
That's crazy. I mean, I feel like last year everyone was talking about cheer.
Yeah. Everybody was talking about it.
Huh.
I mean, if you hear about anything about Jerry or Gap, like, they're incredible. It's incredible. Their spirits are great.
I'm going to do one quick last one that's on Netflix that it's been out for a little bit of time. It's Disclosure. It's Laverne Cox's documentary, Leading Trans Creatives and Thinkers. They share heartfelt perspectives and analysis on Hollywood's impact on the trans community. So, again, I think this is where it's, you know, a world if you're not familiar with, this is giving you an opportunity to hear their perspectives, their views, how they have felt while watching films and television and their portrayal and things that, you know, as a cis, you know, straight woman or straight man or gay woman that maybe you never even thought of, you know, and it's a very interesting documentary. So I do recommend that. It's like, if you're wanting to learn more and hear more of the perspective of, you know, trans men and women, I really suggest you watch it.
Very educational.
Yeah.
Cool. Let's move on.
Hulu.
Hulu. They need to step up their game, man.
So I'll do this one real quick too. So Spaceship Earth, which is funny because I thought this was a movie, and I mean it's a movie documentary.
Yeah,
you're confusing with Battlefield Earth with John Travolta.
I know. And so, but Lena had just watched, what was that show, Devs on FX, and I was like, blah, you know. And she was like, let's watch this. I'm like, I don't want to do any more of this weird stuff. She's like, no, it's a doc. And I was like, oh, okay. And so, and it was very entertaining. Yeah. So in 1991, a group of countercultural visionaries built an enormous replica of Earth's ecosystem called Biosphere 2. Their epic adventure is a cautionary tale, but also a testament to the power of small groups reimagining the world. So again, this is a little bit of that kind of cult, you know,
cult
look
nature
at this group of people that just think life can be a little bit different. And, you know, they take this very far and, you know, and sometimes people will push beyond what is reasonable to have their vision come true. So,
but also cheat.
Yeah, that's what I mean by that.
Natalie, is this about that hoax called climate change that we were talking about earlier?
Oh, yeah. No.
These are some wackos.
Yeah,
just
this is
thinking
really
that they can live in a dome.
Yeah.
Wasn't there a Pauly Shore movie about this?
Yeah, Biodome. It's a great movie. I love that movie. It's exactly that.
Awesome. All right. Up next is another documentary that I actually wanted to watch. I think it was in theaters for a while.
Oh, my God.
Darklight.
Oh, Sean, you got
to
watch it.
I never got around to seeing it, but I really, really want to. I didn't know it was on Hulu. I'm going to check it out. It's called Three Identical Strangers, and it's basically about identical triplets who became separated at birth and adopted by three different families, and I guess they find each other later in life.
Mm-hmm.
Sounds super intriguing. I've
Spoiler
always wanted to watch
alert,
it.
It's a scientific experiment.
Lena.
Lena.
I'm sorry.
What the fuck?
That's why you should watch it.
Okay, but that seems like a pretty significant plot point that you might want to leave out.
But no, I mean, that just turns out
I've never been angry about a spoiler on the show before. I am pissed off at you right now.
I'm pissed off that it happened.
I was going to say it, and then I was like, I don't want to give that up.
I know, but I'm pissed off that it happened. Like, that is fucking crazy.
I don't know when in the doc they reveal that this is the case.
Like very... Well, I hope it's at the beginning now. Fuck.
No.
Oh my God. I was like, I legit want to watch this, and I'd like literally.
No,
thought,
but
oh,
you still should.
Yeah. Even it's if very
you
good.
That you still should because it's still crazy.
Yeah,
how it's their lives just intersected each other. Like it's just crazy.
It's exploring that nature versus nurture, you know. And we just watched that series on HBO. This Much I Know Is True with Mark Ruffalo.
Oh, man.
And, I mean, again, it's like they wanted to explore these twins where it's like, again, people raised in the same household, how differently their lives can turn out. I mean, that's not a docuseries, but, you know, I think for this movie, I mean, that was what they were trying to figure out is if you have, you know, nature and it's the three kids and they're in different homes. What does that look like? That happens?
Disgusting. I'm actually really angry now.
I know.
I'm mad at Lena, but I'm mad at, like, for a whole different reason about the documentary. Yeah.
Well, actually, right. Like, it's actually really cute because the whatever time they find each other, that moment is so heartwarming, the bond that they share immediately with each other and going through that with them is very special.
So it's they must still tell so them special. Like at some point in their life, like, oh, by the way, you're part of this experiment.
No, they don't say that. I don't think they tell them that.
Okay. But their cameras are there when they meet
each
other.
We're not going to say it.
Okay. Okay. Let's move on.
Spoiler alert.
Showtime. This is actually, Lena, this is something that I've been wanting to watch. I've been seeing the ads all over town. Tell us about it.
Okay, I have a special bond with this series that's happening right now. It's called Love Fraud, and it's on Showtime. And it's a 4-part docuseries. I think we have one more to watch. It's on right now. Everyone has to watch this. It is crazy. It follows the search for one man, Richard Scott Smith, who over the past 20 years has used the internet and his dubious charms to prey on unsuspecting women looking for love, conning them out of their money and dignity. The story unravels in real time as Smith's victims band together to seek sweet revenge by turning to a bounty hunter, who is the best character by far, when they feel the justice system has failed them.
So this is a real story?
Yes. Real.
Okay, wow.
In real time. They're not kidding by that.
No. So you are following them as they're following this guy. It is crazy.
That is crazy. I love that it robs them of their money and their dignity.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, God. It is traumatic. It's traumatic that this happens all the time. And to people you know very closely.
That it does.
Oh, wow. Okay. I'm going to...
That's a different side.
I'm going to save that for another episode, I think.
Yeah, we'll talk about that later.
Okay. Yeah, we definitely will have to do that. Cool. Yeah, I've been seeing the billboards and I want to check it out. And now you've sold me on it. So
the bounty hunter is great. She's awesome.
Got a lot of stuff on this one to watch. Last but not least is an Apple TV Plus documentary that just premiered. It follows 1,000 teenage boys attending a boys and girls state in Texas. And they come together to build a representative government from the ground up. It is called Boy State. And if you have any interest whatsoever in the future of the American political process, this documentary is incredibly insightful and will either leave you feeling incredibly hopeful or incredibly depressed.
Oh my God.
I think I have a lot of mixed feelings about this. I really encourage you guys to check it
out. What's a boy-girl state? What does that mean?
You have to watch it. It's really interesting. Okay. I think the thing that I thought that it was going to leave you with a feeling.
But yeah, they call it Boy State.
Yeah, I thought it was going to leave you with a feeling of hope. I'm like, why else would Apple, especially like air a documentary like this, you know, in an election year or whatever. And I've always said that like the only thing that keeps me hopeful about our democracy is the youth and like the future of that, you know, democracy. And they kind of leave it open-ended. I think that there is no definitive, you know, not to spoil it, but I don't think that there is a definitive way that you're going to leave feeling when you watch this. And I think there's something really interesting in there. And so anyway, On that
note, I haven't heard of it, so that's interesting.
Yeah, are there any other documentaries on Apple Plus?
I think there's a couple. Nothing off the top of my head that I can think of. This is the one that I happened to watch because the trailer looks intriguing to me. And it is about politics, but yeah.
I will say overall, my favorite platform for documentaries is HBO.
Yeah,
they have great ones.
I mean, obviously Netflix does
like
too.
The Jinx, Mommy Dead, yeah. Mommy Dearest, all of those are like older ones.
Making
on it.
They a Murderer.
Just, yeah, like no, that was Netflix.
Oh, that was Netflix. I feel like Netflix though has tons.
Yeah, Netflix is good. They're doing good.
Yeah,
very close second, but
yeah,
HBO. I just love them.
Yeah, HBO just makes such quality content in general. That's why I've always felt that like cheapening it with adding like the Big Bang Theory on HBO Max kind of feels weird to me, but that's a whole other topic for, again, another episode. And speaking of other episodes, we have a very special episode planned that you don't want to miss coming up. We're not going to say too much about it yet, other than just trust us, you'll want to tune in. And we're actually going to solicit your participation for this episode. We want to know very specifically why you're voting in November. And so that's all we're going to tell you. And what you can do is just record a voice memo on your phone. Most of you can figure this out. It's super easy. And then send that voice memo to themartiniscale@gmail.com. And we're going to use it in a future episode. So we're giving you a little bit of time to get this in. But again, just record a quick voice memo telling us why you're voting in November. And I think that's the tease.
Great.
Perfect.
Cool.
Love it.
Yeah. Well, this was a lot of fun, ladies. I'm glad we did it.
So much fun. So much fun. You guys make your documentinis and watch some documentaries.
I love documentaries. Oh,
I know.
They're so great.
I feel like a better person.
I like to learn lessons.
A smarter person.
Yeah.
I think I'm actually going to go watch one right now. I don't know.
Ooh, watch The Last Dance.
The Last Dance.
Definitely not The Last Dance. I think I'm actually,
Sean.
I kind of want to start Love Fraud. I don't know. I just feel like I'm kind of in the mood for something campy or cheesy or whatever. So might do that one. Or the one about the fire, since that's kind of like super top of mind and relevant.
Yes.
It's real quick.
Yeah. Which ones are you guys going to watch? Are there any, you guys watched most of these, didn't you?
Yeah, we watched all of them.
Oh, you've seen all of them?
Yeah.
Shit. Okay.
Yeah. What we're talking about is we've watched them. We love them.
Yes. We love them.
I did not watch Cheer. I will say I did not watch.
I honestly, like, I know you're going to fight against me forever on this, but like one day when you watch, you're going to be like, damn, that was really good. I'm telling you, when you're going to run out of stuff to watch, and you're going to have to watch Cheer, and you're going to love it.
Okay.
It's so interesting.
As always, we want to thank you for listening. For more information, please be sure to visit themartiniscale.com, where you can find links for all of our social channels, in addition to show notes and more.
If you haven't already, please head over to Apple Podcasts and rate and review us. It helps others discover the show.
We'll see you next time.
Cheers! Cheers.